mekaar kan kom. Dit is vir my regtig so besonder. Ons is so inderdaad is ons mos maar erg oor ons kerk elkeen en ons kerkklokke lyk anders en ons dominees lyk anders en die prosesse loop anders, maar om saam te kan kom is 'n enorme voorreg. So dankie dat julle saam met ons hierdie oomblik vier. Nou, so van die liedere wat ons gaan sing is so gemengde Afrikaans Engels, maar en die eerste twee dink ek is meer die ou Halleluja liedere. En ons gaan dit heerlik saam sing. So ek wil vra, kom ons staan, en dan sing ons Count Your Blessings, en as die lewensstorme woedend om jou slaan, ai julle, kom ons tel ons seëninge. Kom ons staan en sing ons die verse, vier verse. So in the meantime, it changed. So good luck. But God will reveal the truth through His Holy Spirit so that you understand the rest. Blye versekering. Blessed assurance is die wonderlike lied waarvan ons so verseker is. En dit is waaraan hierdie dag ons ook herinner. Kom ons sing dit ook saam. Like you to suffer with me by standing over. But if you are, you can, no, stand. There are so many hymns in the hymnal, but nothing comes to lead to 66. We can sing it only in Afrikaans. Ons kan nie onze vader bid as 'n gelowige gemeenskap in Windhoek. En wat 'n voorreg om saam te kan bid, ons vader wat woon in die hemel. En wat vandag wonder doen in ons gemeenskap, in ons lewe, om weer bewus te word van wat hy doen en wie hy is. Kom ons bid dit saam en dan mag julle sit daarna, die onse Vader.
Thank you.
Right. As you can see, it's Hemelvaart. So I think it's the third time that I'm standing here in 5 years. But it's just so that we all can see one another. And again, welcome. Some of you are really, really late, is it? Is that procedures at your congregation? Okay. But, right, as I've said in the beginning, we will proceed in English because this is how we do it. But thank you, and you will survive. At the end, you will see my vocabulary becomes depleted, and then we just hoi Afrikaans. Okay. I'm really glad that we can be together this morning. And let me start off by saying, I think people, this is how people just is. We think in pictures. We think about things in pictures. So when we say ascension, what is the picture? And I thought maybe there should have been some clouds, isn't it? I guess, isn't it? Partly cloudy. And when you look at some of your YouTube videos, extremely windy as well. So what is your picture of this day? When we think of Christmas and you think in terms of pictures, most of the time three camels and three wise men from the east or something like that, and an extremely bright star and something like that. And when you think about the Easter weekend and Calvary and the cross and that's the stone and the disciple and the fear and the fright and all the gruesome stuff, but you think in pictures, I believe. And today, what is the picture in your mind about ascension? We just came from our outreach in the Kunene region, and we normally use the Jesus film as a source to help us and to help these people for the first time. And most of the time, I mean, the film is in Ocheredo, so at the end, I'm usually asleep. And so I've missed ascension all the time. And so I had to go back during this weekend just to see how it ends. And how it ends is that it is nothing spectacular about the moment. It's just the disciples in the field with Jesus, and he said his last words, and the focus is not on Jesus. The focus is on the disciples sitting there and honoring and the moment. So the picture, I think, normally is about how did Jesus lift and went up in the air somewhere. But the picture is the church. The focus in the gospel is on the church, not the event itself. I like Mark. Mark has a very, very short sort of approach to the whole thing. He says in Mark 16, verse 19, he says, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat on the right hand of God. Klar. That's it. Nothing dramatic about it. Said his words, left, sat on the right hand of God. And then Paul says, no, listen, I think we should say something more about this morning. I think we should just say something more. And he says in Philippians 2, verse 9 to 11, he says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Ephesians, Paul says something about it again. He says he asserted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand of God in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. For the church. The Message translation says, God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to governments. No name and no power exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all. Has a final word on everything. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. Isn't that a wonderful moment? When we see the disciples, it's not the moment that how it happens, but the church waiting for what to do. I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, the ruler of the universe, from galaxies to governments, right into the center of it all, the church. May his peace rest upon all of you. Amen. Groet ek die kerk van Namibia in Engels. Ons sing. Oh, that is the picture. That was the picture of the disciples. Sorry, I forgot about that one. It's from the clouds to the people standing there left to understand what to do next. Let's sing. Just a praise to God. Aan God al die eer. To God all the glory. Two verses. Three verses. Let's sing it together.
Thank you.
Dit is toch lekker nie. Dit is toch wonderlik om so saam te kan sing. Dankie dat julle sing. Dis wat hulle gedoen het. Dis wat they did. And we are going to spend some time and the last little verses of Luke in Afrikaans, it says Lukas, and 24, wonderful little passage, Luke 24, and we are going to read from verse 44. But before we do so, let's pray. Father God, yes, indeed, to God be the glory. Because you lifted Jesus high and honored far beyond anyone, anything, and therefore we can sing and we can praise your name through Jesus Christ, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Glory, glory to God. Father, thank you that we know the master of the universe today. The one that rules from galaxies to governments. The one who rules in our hearts and in the church. We honor your name. Thank you for a moment like today. And Lord, thank you for your word. You became flesh before you left us. And you are present today like the old days with the disciples, but in a new way. And as then you open your word and you explain it to us, and therefore we pray that you will bless this message that you prepared for us as a church in Windhoek today. Please open our eyes to see your love, your grace, so that we can see hope, and so that we can see your presence in the church as we are celebrating the Day of Ascension. Father, we pray that you will help us to not to conform to our own knowledge and biases and our own merit. We are just here listening with open hearts and minds to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. As a church, we stand in awe before you today. And ask, Father, help us to be church. Help us to listen, to obey, to apply. In your name, we pray this. Amen. The text sounds like this. It's really at the end, just before Jesus left, in verse 44, he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds. Now the word used there in Greek he gave them thinking capacities. He opened their thinking capacities so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised." If you read in Afrikaans, it says, "Daar's 'n gawe." But die gawe staan nie in die Grieks nie. Die Grieks sê net, what was promised, wat beloof was. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. I think that the meaning of ascension is summed up in the concept that Jesus is right now ruling at the right hand of God in heaven. This is the point. But what does it mean for us as a church? And I think it helps us to just to get our perspective right about who God really is. And this is everything is just focusing on this single day. That is what Jesus said that he explained the scriptures to tell them about this specific day. What is going to happen here? And what is so wonderful, and I think this is a sort of a recipe for the church, what should we do? Continually worship Jesus. That is what they did. So the question is not really, where is Jesus now? I think the question is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus in your life, in my life, and in the life of the church? What is Jesus doing in the life of the church? So there are three, well, you'll see this morning, well, it's a typical thing. Last night we had a church council meeting, and they said something about exegesis and hermeneutics and stuff, and I'm so nervous because there are almost 15 pastors here today. And, I'm under the microscope this morning. JT, jy moet net onthou, jy sit na my groot dominee, jy moet lekker wees. But what is the point here is, what is Jesus doing in your life, in my life, and in the church today? There are three movements, but I will just explain quickly what it says in the text, and then there are three other things that I will explain. Okay. But verse 44 to verse 47 says the following. Jesus looks back at his ministry, at his presence, his physical presence in the world with the disciples. They kicked up real dust. They ate real stuff and food. They slept like normal people in the bed and got hungry and suffered with the normal things of life. And he says, listen, what happens here is a fulfillment of the scriptures. He brings us back to the scriptures, to the word of God. The Old Testament foretold every single thing about him. And he says, while I am the Messiah, I suffered, I rise from the dead, third day, the forgiveness of sin, and what you should do is go and proclaim it in the world. That's it. What is the sense in day about? Go back to the scriptures. Learn about forgiveness of sin and go and proclaim it in the world. Okay, they pay me per hour, so let me just then go through the hour then. The next verse says, verse 48 to 49 says, and Jesus called them witnesses. This guy standing there, you are the witnesses. But not as passive observers of what just happened. I mean, what they witnessed, and you see it with Mark, is not a description of how wonderful that moment was. You know what? We were standing there, and all of a sudden, No. No, they don't make a big story of it. The big story is who is left behind? The witnesses. The witnesses. And we are not going to witness about what happened and how it is possible just to move to heaven. We witness about scriptures, about Jesus and his suffering, and everything concluded in this day for him to be the ruler of the world. Active participants of witnessing the life and death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection and going to heaven. And then he says, and well, it doesn't say it in the text, but I mean it's implied here that he says the promise, the gift is the Holy Spirit. There's a tension of I'm going. You think you will miss me, but there's actually more coming. More of me, more of salvation, more that we can celebrate and sing about. And it's the Holy Spirit. And that we will celebrate within a week or two. The last one is that the final moment is verse 52, verse 53 that focuses on that day, the ascension day. And what is so wonderful about it is again, not the whole experience of what happened, but what happened to these people. They, verse 52 says, they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. You see the difference? After the resurrection of Jesus, there were confusion and fear and they didn't know what to do. But here, for sure, they know what to do. There's joy, happiness, confidence of what to do now. A joyful worship before God, patiently waiting for the fulfillment of Jesus' promises. That was just the introduction with the three things. Now the real three things come. I think there are three things that we need to understand today. This was, the first place, the ending of a certain phase in the life of the church. They knew Jesus as a real person. Blood and flesh and dust. His physical presence was what kept them there around him. And all of a sudden, he moved out of time and space and became the master of the universe. He had to say, but I'm here with you every single day. I'm present in your life. This is what this day is about. It's not just of going up somewhere, but ascending down on you and be present in everything you do. Everything we do. And I think this is what we need to do today is just to become so consciously aware of his presence. There's a wonderful, wonderful prophecy in Zechariah. In Zechariah, it's a beautiful. It says at the end of Zechariah in chapter 14, it says, the holiness of God. He said, on that day, on that day, he says, man, in Afrikaans say, die perre se klokkie sal lei. Heilig, heilig is die Here. Die elke pot en elke pan in jou huis sal getuig. Heilig, heilig is die Here. Zechariah, go and read it. Many years ago, more than 400 years ago, someone wrote a little book, 35 pages, with the title, The Practice of the Presence of God. The Practice of the Presence of God. Well, it's a strange sort of thing to say. To practice the presence of God. What is this day about? It is to practice the presence of God. It is to practice the presence of God. And this little book is still available, and people are still doing it and do it. And it, the story of this book is, it was written by Nicholas Herman. His story works like this. He was a simple cook in a monastery in Paris. Nicholas Herman is better known as Brother Lawrence. And Nicholas was born in 1605 in Lorraine, in France. And as a teenager, he conscripted at the start of the 30 Years' War. Hopefully this war will not be 30 years. But and within the French army, he was severely wounded, and he remained crippled for the rest of his life. And after the war, he went working for as a servant for an official of the Department of Finance. And he was converted to Christ at the age of 18. And at the age of 50, he became a member of the Carmelite monastery in Paris. And there he received the name Brother Lawrence. And he was assigned to work in the kitchen. And he was a very intelligent man. And initially, he experienced the work as a cook in a monastery, firstly, but then with the work that he've done, as a really deeply humiliating sort of work. And he became very negative about his work as a cook. And then one day, the Holy Spirit just reminded him that every little single thing, every pot and pan in Jerusalem, the perdes and clockies, is holy. It's a holy ground of God. And he wrote this little book, How to Practice the Presence of God. And then the story goes on, and I said, I mean, it became a life-changing realization for him that the smallest task is holy, and it has to be done to the glory of God, as prophesied by Zechariah. And they said, at the end of his life, the story goes, he's busy dying, losing his strength, and there were people around him gathering, and he said, do not feel sorry for me because I'm dying. I'm only doing now what I have been doing for the past 40 years, and what I hope to do for all eternity. And they asked, what is that? And he said, I experience the presence of the loving God whom I also love. It's all I do. All I do, practice the presence of God. When you read the Matthew's version of ascension in chapter 28:20, and Jesus says to them just before he greets them, he says, and surely, or behold, I think some of them, behold, and surely, I am with you. In the Greek, it will say, I with you am. You remember he said that to Moses on the holy ground. When I am with you, it's a holy moment. May this day, this ascension, create awareness, a mental capacity, a spiritual capacity to understand this. Right where you are, what you're busy doing, you are retired or in school or looking for a job, doesn't matter. What you do, where you are, is a holy moment in the presence of God. And may it be true for the church in Namibia as well. The second thing is, it was not just the ending, it was also a beginning of something else. For the disciples, it was a real beginning of a new life. To understand that the person that we struggled with to understand his life and to interpret his presence, and now he's leaving. And all of a sudden they realize, he's the master. He's the King of Kings. He's alive forever. And this is what Paul testifies about. He says in Romans 8, verse 37, and I think this is what we, in the presence of God and in his holiness, just realized this morning again. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Niks kan jou van die liefde van God skei nie. Dit sê vandag. Forgive me, English people, but it says in Afrikaans in die boodskap, en ek is nie 'n vreeslike boodskap fan nie, maar hy sê ons deel in Christus se reuse oorwinning omdat hy ons baie liefhet. Daarom is ek heeltemal seker dat niks wat met ons gebeur ooit van ons van die liefde van God kan skei nie. Nie eens die dood of enige iets in hierdie lewe nie. Ook nie die slegte engele of ander bonatuurlike magte nie. Ook nie iets wat dalk vandag of môre met ons kan gebeur nie, ook nie enige buitengewone kragte nie. Selfs nie die hoogste berg of die diepste see hier op aarde nie. Letterlik niks in hierdie skepping kan ons ooit van God se liefde skei nie. Hy het vir ons kom wys hoe lief hy ons het, toe hy ons Here Jesus Christus in ons plek laat doodgaan het. At the end of the Second World War, Winston Churchill was the Prime Minister of the UK, and he was at a dinner. And at that dinner, he was at the table, there was a person next to him, and that person says, at the Battle of Bulge, we had the evidence that the British soldiers were braver than the Nazi soldiers. The Battle of Bulge proved it. And Winston Churchill, he replied, he said, no, it's not true. The Nazi soldiers were just as brave as the British soldiers. But the British soldiers were brave for 5 minutes longer. And I think in this world, this is what it is. What is the victory about? We do not fight for a victory. There was already a victory. We live from the victory over death. And therefore we can fight for 5 minutes longer. Therefore we can endure and suffer for 5 minutes longer. And I think Ascension Day proves this legal, spiritual proof that we can be part of a kingdom already defeated to death. The Message translation says, I am absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. This is what it is about. He says, I am with you. I with you am. This moment is holy. The last one is, Ascension gave the disciples a certainty that their friend just didn't left. Didn't leave. He's still our friend. Ascension gave the disciples an abundance of friendship and the feeling thereof that we've got a friend in heaven. I think about that hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus. But that friend is limited to the cross and suffering and prayer. But here the friend is in heaven. He is the friend in the universe. So the same Jesus who walked on earth with them is the one who awaits us in heaven. is waiting in heaven? The friend, Jesus. I've got a friend in Jesus. And this is why they returned to Jerusalem and continually praised him in the temple. It's strange. Remember, after his resurrection, where did they go? To the boerkamer. What's the boerkamer? The boerkamer. The boerkamer. The upper room. That's it. They went to the upper room. Secluded, isolated, frightened, uncertain. Yeah. They went to the center of the community to proclaim there with joy, continuously, we've got a friend in Jesus in heaven. This is what they said. This is what they do. They went to the temple. It's interesting what Luke does. Luke started off the story of Jesus in the temple with Zechariah and the birth of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a Levite. The Levites did the work in the temple. What is the Levite doing from the temple? He says, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he ends off in the temple. Again, they went to the temple. That is what you've said in the beginning. He is the Lamb. Yes, indeed, he is the Lamb. We just come to the temple and say, you know what? He's the one. The writer Samuel D. Jordan, he writes about a woman he knew. And in her younger years, she had the ability to remember and memorize the Bible very, very, very perfectly. But in her old age, she started to lose memory and struggle to and fail just to remember verses. But he said one verse that she always remembered was 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, where it says, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. And they said, well, it's a difficult verse to remember, but she did remember it. But as she grew old, and as her memory faded, she remembered just parts of it. And she remembered, I know whom I believed in. I know who I... And she was busy dying. And she said, I know who I entrusted my life to, who I committed myself to. And as the life force parts, she was dying, and the family was standing around her, and she was saying something. And listening to what she was saying, he. And then Dr. Jordan says, Gordon says, then he realized she summed up the whole Bible in this word. He. He took them to Bethany. He blessed them. He was taken up to heaven. And the disciples, they returned to Jerusalem and worshiped him in the house of the Lord, because he had changed their lives. He gave them a joyful ending. And he is the one that will return. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. Summed up in that single word, it's him. I am. Therefore, you are holy. Therefore, this moment is holy. Ascension Day teaches us about the presence of Jesus Christ, about the him. And may the Church of Christ just proclaim him, because that him is coming back, the ruler of the universe. And that him is our friend in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we proclaim he reigns, He rules. He reigns, he reigns. Die Here regeer. Hy sit aan die regterhand van God. U is die Here. Elke knie sal buig, elke tong erken Jesus Christus is die Here wat regeer. Here, U is die Immanuel, die God met ons. Daarom bid ons, Here, mag ons weer hoor dat U ons terugvat na U woord toe. Dat ons weer hoor van die vergifnis van sonde, dat ons weer hoor, Here, dat ons aktiewe getuies sal wees van die gebeure, die lewe van Jesus Christus, die Hy, die enigste ek is in ons midde. Dankie, Vader, vir die dag. Dankie dat die kerk weer ons roeping hoor. Mag ons met vreugde U naam loof en prys. Mag dit die kerk wees waarvan U die hoof is. En dit bid ons in die grootste heilige naam van ons verlosser, ons vriend, Jesus Christus, wat aan die regterhand van God sit en regeer. Amen. Vriende, ons gaan nou nie nou 'n dankoffer opneem nie. Maar kan ek net dit sê, die dankoffer wat ons by die deure gaan opneem, the offering at the doors, is totally and completely going to the Bible Society. Ons het nou net weer besef, toe ons dan weer met die sending uitreike is, ons kan nie sonder die Bybelgenootskap, het ons, dit is wat ons nodig het, of dit 'n Mega Voice klank Bybel is, of dit 'n kinderbybelkie is, of wat se Bybel is, wil jy nie vandag weer dink aan die geskrifte, en hoe nodig dit is vir wat ons moet gebruik nie. Kom ons staan, dan sing ons, en ek het nou nie 'n Engelse weergawe hiervan nie, maar ons sing, ons Vader neem ons hande en bind ons saam. Dit is koud genoeg dat jy jou vrou mag vashou, maar is gevaarlik genoeg dat jy wegbly van die ander een af. So, vat jou familie saam, en ons as gelowiges sien dit as 'n geestelike band wat ons het, van Akademia en Oos en Eros en Moeder en Wes en Suiderhof, en dat ek seker iemand vergeet. Ja, sorry julle. Maar dat ons hierdie band sien, hoekom? Dis Hy en is Hy, dis Hy alleen. Kom ons staan, dan sing ons die drie verse.
Oh,
dankie. Dit was vir my 'n kosbare dag. Dankie dat julle dit saam met ons deel. Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord make you his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.